As the people are still being ministered to, I think one of the little things that we need to start looking at is, how does God speak to us? I kind of wanted to start with the sort of like the thought of meaning, the meaning of life. And, you know, our little grandson, he's just turned 6. And when he was 4 or 5 or so, he kind of, you asked him to do something and he would say, "Why, Grandpa?" You'd ask him to do something else. "Why, Grandpa?" And eventually now he's just turned 6. So now his favorite little saying is, "Can I tell you something?" And then he'll go into something that he's learnt at school or something that's happened, and, "Can I tell you something?" You know, and I think this morning, if we really honestly think of last week and the way that we were spoken to by the Lord, "Can I tell you something?" is what Jesus is saying to us this morning. And I think sometimes when we're in these moments of people being ministered to, Jesus is coming just alongside of us. He's perhaps sitting by the side of us. He's just standing as we're praising and as we're worshiping with our hands in the air. And he says, "Can I tell you something?" And I think this morning, I think it's been a reality this morning again that the Lord is real. He is there. "Can I tell you something?" And I think if we just listen to that still small voice this morning, that each one of us has been touched. It was only a handful of people who were really being prayed for this morning, but you were being ministered to by the Holy Spirit. "Can I tell you something?" Jesus says. Now, I think we started this morning with a little bit of faith. And I'm sure we all know from Ephesians chapter 6, the armor of God. And I'm trying to shorten this so that you understand the concept of where I'm coming from. We're standing here this morning and we're saying, "Yes, but we have the..." And I'm not like Benny, I have to wear glasses. Careful. Therefore, we put on the full armor of God so that the day of evil comes, that we stand firm then with the belt of truth, and we stand there with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and our feet are covered with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, we take up the shield of faith. But I think really, if the reality is, the Lord is saying to us this morning, "I have something to tell you." And from the scriptures, if Ockert would just put it on the screen for us, we see these words where David is coming to that point in 1 Samuel. I gave it to you separately, Ockert, 1 Samuel. Let me just stand this side so I can see. "Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. And then David said to Saul, 'I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them.' So David put them off." I think when we talk about the faith and the armor of faith, this morning is one of those moments. Are we testing the Spirit of truth? Are we testing that righteousness? Are we testing that shield of faith in its realities this morning? We've stepped beyond the defensive. We've stepped into the offensive, which we heard last week. And I think that moment in time is coming where the Lord will be speaking clearer and clearer. Not just a little whisper by saying, "I want to tell you something." But he will be boldly proclaiming from the heavens, "Do you love me more than anything else in the world? Anything else that you may have? Do you love me," the Lord says, "greater than your spouse? Do you love me greater than your children?" That's when we will be tested. Tested. David tried to put on the sword. He tried to put on the armor, but he couldn't walk around in it. It was too heavy. So where are we this morning when the Lord says, "Can I tell you something?" Are we testing that faith? Are we testing it day by day? Are we testing it in where we are? In 1 Peter chapter chapter 4, we see these words. I'm going to read it from my scriptures if you don't mind. It's the same. But the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very word of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Jesus is saying to us this morning, I have something to share with you. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Are you putting on that armor this morning? Are you standing proud to do what God has asked of you? Sorry, I'm trying to shorten this a little bit, so I'm going to leave out a scripture or two. We go on to Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus is speaking, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. The Lord is saying to us this morning, be prepared. We see in Genesis, we see the story of Cain and Abel. And I don't think I need to read the whole scripture because you all know the story of Cain and Abel. But I just want to pick out one particular episode that's very important for this morning. And we all know the story that Abel was keeping flocks and Cain worked the soil. And in the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was angry, and his face was downcast. And the Lord God spoke to Cain and said, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. And again, where we are wearing that armor of faith, are we testing it, people? Are we, and that's me included, am I testing it? Am I trying to put on the armor in my own strength? And it's clanking around, and I'm really struggling just to understand the sword of truth, or the belt of truth, rather, or the sword, or the armor itself. Am I really struggling with it? Am I testing it in my day-to-day struggle? Because I think the victory, we've been singing this morning, the victory is in you, Lord Jesus, and the joy of my salvation is because I am testing that faith that I'm walking in this morning. And I think we get to that point where the Lord is really speaking to us, and he's getting to that real point of the message. If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? And if we go through the story of Cain and Abel, we'll know that the horror of horrors, that the one brother kills the other brother, and we kind of see what the Lord says in this particular verse. And if I really jump to my notes and really go to the end of this particular story, that's where the end is. We get to the end, we see the father's response, because he is saying to Cain, I have given you the right to choose. But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. And I think this morning when the Lord speaks to each and every one of us, are we aware of the Lord's second chance that he gives to each and every one of us? But why do we hold back? Why do we hold back from what is going on in our lives? The devil walks around in reality. He's saying these things to us. He's saying to us that there's doubt in your heart. There's discouragement in your heart. There's division in what you say and what you do. There's division in things that you are doing with your spouse, in your family. You're very much a defeatist. Everything is defeating the object of, and that's how the devil is delaying each and every one of us when he is crouching at the door for each one of our lives. In the meaning of life, we have the wonderful sort of expressions that people have had. And Freddie Mercury, I know you'll probably all judge me for my choice of song, but the rock group Queen, in their last song on their album, Innuendo, had this wonderful word, "Does anyone know what we are living for?" And that stirs up a question when the Lord is really speaking to our hearts this morning. Do we know what we are living for? Are we living for that moment? Richard Nixon had the same question. Life is one crisis after another. Again, the devil climbs in and causes us to stumble. John Lennon, before he was murdered, he stated, "Life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans." That is what happens when you are not listening to that still, small voice. And the writer or the author of the, I'm sure you all know, the comic book of Dennis the Menace. "Life is what you make of it," says Dennis. "But I can make it unbearable." And I'm sure this is what is happening. We are not listening to that still, small voice, knowing the truth that the Lord has for us. If I go on to some of the background of where I'm trying to aim at, where we are being, if you like, holding back on the promises of God because we're saying we're not good enough. We're not listening to the Lord this morning. And if we go through Matthew in two verses of, don't put it up, I'll just try and paraphrase it or talk it the way I see it. The parable of the talents. And if we go through the talents, and we all know that the talents were given in quite obvious factors, the master gave certain talents to some of the people. And some of the people were able to go out and really praise the Lord, and they were able to really double the money, if you like. But then there was the one, and he had given it to another person. And the man who had received the one talent, all he did was hide it. And this is what the man says. Then the man who had received the one talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew you, that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." And he just gives it back, the one talent. Again, are we hearing that still small voice of what the Lord is saying? Not to hide, not to hold back. Because that's what happened with Cain. He also held back. He held back his portion of what he should have been giving to the Lord. And if we read the psalmist comes through. Sorry, this is really not in order. The psalmist came through and says in Psalm 117, "Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples, for great is his love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord." Are we hearing what the Lord is saying to each and every one of us this morning? Are we at that point of knowing that we are loving him more than others? Are we loving? I came across this prayer, and I think this is how we kind of should be responsive this morning. "Lord, thank you that Jesus laid down his life for me. Thank you that I am a child of God. Thank you that the love of God is poured out into my heart by the Holy Spirit, who has been given to me. Thank you, Lord, that through an experience of your love for me, I find the very meaning of my life." And I hope this morning that you are finding the meaning of life for you. as we not only are we fearing God, but we're listening to God this morning. There comes a point in these stories that of the talents and holding back from God. And we have this moment in time where we can look back and say, in God's love, are we holding back in our marriage? In Ephesians, Paul gives the Christians the pattern of keeping a Christian marriage in good stead. Husbands, love your wife. But are you holding back on what God is asking of you to share with your spouses? Are you holding back on that love that God wants you to share? Are you holding back with your family? Are you holding back the things that need to be said? There is a fear of God. Whether the talents that were given out so generously and to the one who was not able to respond and hid the talent, Jesus' reaction is, "You wicked and lazy servant." And it's very interesting that Jesus calls him wicked and lazy, because it's really the same kind of wording that was used on Cain. But there is this father's response to holding back on how we have responded in the fear of God. And that really struck me over yesterday, was the fear of God that we were listening to. And I think it was quite evident for each and every one of us who listened to it yesterday. But then there's this beautiful words that Jesus comes, or God the Father comes, and he says to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." The testing of our faith, the testing of that armor in faith. Are we there, not letting it rule over us with the sin that may be in our hearts? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted, God says. Basically, God is saying, you know what is right, so here is a second chance. And I'm hoping this morning that in this very shortened message this morning, that like my little grandson, I have something to tell you, Jesus says. And I'm hoping that each and every one of us, including myself, know that we have always a second chance when we come back to him and live in his strength and in his kingdom. So I think we get to that point this morning. Let us commit our hearts to the Lord and know that where we are going to respond by saying, "Yes, Lord, I love you with all of my heart," means all of my heart. We're not holding back on any of that love. When we're dealing with our friends, when we're dealing with our family, with our husbands and wives, our children, that we're not holding back on any of that love, that we're actually in Christ to share that love. And I think this morning with the dance that came through, where we are being pulled, where we are being drawn away, we should come to that place of saying, "Lord, give me that second chance. Allow me, Lord, please, to just respond by saying, I love you, Lord, in such a way that every one of us will know the love of the Father this morning." As we pull, as that dance from Stefani, that dance was pulled, pulling my interpretations, we're being pulled into the world, we're being pulled away from what God wants. And it's that moment that we have to resist. We have to resist when the sin is crouching at our door, and we pull towards the Father, for he continually pulls. I always had this little story that somewhere in South America, there is a little insect, a little spider, that every now and again, when it gives birth to all the little spiderlies, and I know a lot of things from what Andrew said yesterday, he's scared of spiders, but it brought back to my memory that when at a certain point in the life of these baby little spiders, the mother spider just inch by inch pulls them back into the web of her nest. And I think each one of us is being pulled, like that spider's web, being pulled into the throne room this morning. We shouldn't be on the offensive in such a way that it hurts people. We must be there with the fear of God in our hearts, that we must be there to really take care of our brothers and our sisters, as the scripture says. Let's have those moments of time where the Lord is saying to us, listen, I have something to say to you. Are we responding this morning? Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have called us to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all our minds, and with all our soul, our whole of our bodies. And this is the first and the greatest commandment. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that as we heard from that dance, Lord, we saw the body reaction, Lord, of being pulled in a different direction, that we are being pulled by your web, Lord, your string that is pulling each and every one of us closer to your heart. We thank you and we praise you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity this morning of being able to, in our own hearts and in our own ways, to say enough is enough. We need to know you, Lord Jesus, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. Come, Lord Jesus, come. We await your eternal kingdom, Lord, to be for every one of us. We just give you praise. We give you glory, Lord. Amen.